Welcome to the Nourishing Amy podcast. I'm Amy Rankin. I am an emotional intelligence and life coach, a speaker, a creator, and a wellness chaser. I have created this podcast for you to learn habits, mindset changes, and get really actionable takeaways to find out who you are, what lights you up, how you can love yourself again, and how to live your best life. Give yourself the space to welcome in more self-care and confidence. Reduce feelings like overwhelm and stress, and let's find your sparkle again. Are you ready? Let's do it. Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Nourishing Amy podcast. Welcome back. It has been a minute. It's actually been 4 weeks to be precise, but we have had all of the things happening at our house. You can maybe hear I'm actually still a little croaky. I am just getting over the flu for the third time in the last 8 weeks since Ollie has started daycare. And all of you mamas that have children that are in daycare will know the feels that we have had this last 8 weeks. So thank you so much for being patient. We have had, the colds and the flus going through three times in our house now. We've had conjunctivitis. We've had gastro twice. I was actually in hospital 2 weeks ago with gastro and dehydration for this poor little babe that I'm currently pregnant with, who was really struggling with the dehydration as well. So it's just been a lot the last few months. There's just been so much happening. So I really, really appreciate your patience with these podcast episodes getting uploaded. And this episode is actually off the back of a Instagram question that came through when I popped a question box on my Instagram last night. And I did a brief response last night, and I actually woke up this morning to quite a few messages in my DMs with people asking that I elaborate on this and that I talk more about this. So I have spoken on my stories today, but we know that stories only last for 24 hours. And I just think that this is such a huge topic that deserves more input if you are interested in this or if you are currently working through this question yourself. So today I want to be talking to you about how we knew that we were ready for a second baby. And I guess it's one of those things like, how do you ever know that you're ready for a big change in your life, right? Like, did you know fully 100% that you were really 100% ready for your first baby or for like changing your job, changing your career, changing a friendship circle, leaving a relationship, moving house, like all of these big things and these big life changes that we go through? I think that there's an aspect of feeling ready or feeling like, okay, maybe I know that this is like the next move in the direction that I want to be heading in my life. But I think it's very, very normal to also be feeling the whole spectrum of emotions really around these big decisions that we can make in our lives. Things like feeling nervous. Maybe we feel a little bit anxious coming up. Maybe the thought of having a baby or a second baby or a third baby can make us feel a little bit overwhelmed or stressed. And we can start to notice things like questioning and the what ifs and that future-based thinking that can really start to come up for us. So I want to run through that with you today. I'm briefly going to touch on Ollie's birth story, but I'm not going to go too far into that because I don't think it's super necessary to dive into the whole entire thing. But it is going to be touched on because I think that also involved in this conversation that we're having today is the very important topic of birth trauma and what birth trauma can look and feel like to every single person as an individual on an individual level for you. Whether like whatever birth you had with your child, whatever birth you are hoping to envision for any other future children on your horizon, and also just as a family unit, how you can be working through things again as an individual, but also as a family unit, as on a partnership level, all of those different types of things. So as with every episode, I am going to give you two recommendations, and these are two women that I have personally worked with and have felt huge, huge shifts with mentally, physically, and emotionally around these areas and these topics, and these two women really helped me on my journey of, you know, pre-pregnancy, falling pregnant, labor, birth, all of the things. So my very first recommendation for you is Clancy, the beautiful Clancy. She is a doula. So both of these women are doulas. If you don't know what doula is, basically the very general definition would be that they are pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, and postnatal coaches, really. So there's a whole entire realm of specialities, I suppose you would say, or niches that they can fit within. The same as saying, well, I'm a well-being coach. Okay, but what does that exactly mean? And what do I specialize in? That's going to be different for every coach that you talk to. So doulas definitely have their certain topics or areas or things that they really feel that they are pulled towards or that they gravitate to. But Clancy, I worked with back in 2020, so 2 years ago now, in the lead up to my birth with Ollie. So a very quick backstory. For about 10 to 15 years before Ollie was born, I was adamant that I didn't want to have children. It just wasn't something that I felt was on my timeline that I was really super interested in. And I was really, I guess, like at the crux of it, when I get down to it, I was really scared about being pregnant and the toll that that would take on my body. But also I was absolutely petrified of birth. And I just had in my head, like, I just can't do that. I can't see myself ever doing that. So I just had convinced myself that I didn't want to have kids. Also, my life plans and my life goals were very different. I was very career focused. I was working in the corporate space, and then that also transitioned into working and studying in the coaching space as well. And so it was just like the focuses of my life were very different in those 10 to 15 years leading up to that. Once I started to move into the phase of my life where I started to feel like, actually, maybe I do want to have a child, it was a very different headspace for me to be in, and something that I really needed to work on mentally, where I realized, okay, I've kind of gotten myself halfway there, where I'm like, all right, I do feel like I'm ready, I do want this, but I'm still absolutely petrified of birth and labor and all of those types of things. And I had absolutely no idea how to work through any of that. So I worked through all of that with Clancy, who is Womancraft Way over on Instagram. Or you can just search Clancy. If you go into people that I follow over on my Instagram, Clancy will definitely pop up there. So she really, really helped me. I will give a little disclaimer that Clancy has actually made the decision to take a step back from working within the hospital system these days. And she really supports mothers who are wanting to focus on things like home birthing. But she does have some fantastic online resources as well. And interestingly, we were actually working together when she was in the middle of making this decision to step back. And so we actually didn't have Clancy with us in the hospital room while I was giving birth. And to be fair, I don't think it actually made that much of a difference, because she had shared such a wealth of knowledge with us, and that we felt so empowered and confident within ourselves as a team with Aaron and I working together, after the knowledge that we had learned from Clancy and that we'd been able to integrate that. We had a beautiful and fantastic birthing experience. I would say a lot, like, in part to because of the things that we had learned. That's absolutely terrible grammar. In my mind, I'm like, Amy, get your sentences together. So very first recommendation is Clancy, and I'll go into that in a little more detail in a few minutes. But my second recommendation is another beautiful doula who I have just done a bit of a one-on-one clearing, like, birth trauma session with, and her name is Julia. Again, if you follow me on Instagram, or if you go over onto my Instagram, it's literally just Amy_Rankin. And you go into my followings, it's Julia. Her name is also Central Coast Doula on Instagram. So Julia and I had a amazing, absolutely amazing, life-changing, again, one-on-one session together on really working on my mindset and working through some negative self-talk and limiting beliefs that were really coming up for me around my birth trauma and things that were getting in my way with my mindset of going into labor and birthing this baby that I am currently pregnant with. So two absolutely amazing powerhouse women in their fields, very, very knowledgeable, very helpful for me personally with regards to my mental state in the birthing capacity. So to give you a little bit of a background, actually, before I do that, I just want to say thank you so much to everybody that listens, just very, very quickly, because I've noticed in the last few episodes, there's actually been quite a few more listeners than normal. And I don't know where you guys have come from. If you have maybe started to follow my reels over on Instagram, maybe you have gotten onto me through the Transform program with FitAz that I'm the wellbeing coach on, because I know we've recently had a new intake of the Transform program happening, or maybe you've just been recommended some podcast episodes from a friend or a family member. So wherever you are from, whether you are a new listener or you're an OG and you've been here from the beginning, I say this all the time, and I know this is in my outro as well, but I am a totally independent podcaster. I don't have anyone backing me. I literally record this when I have the space and the time to be able to do this for you guys from my home. And so every extra listen just means so much to me, and I absolutely appreciate every single one of you. So if it calls to you and you feel like there's an episode that you've listened to of the podcast that would resonate with a friend or a family member, I would love if you could share. And I also love seeing all of your shares over on Instagram when you are taking a screenshot and sharing where you're listening from or what you're doing. Maybe you might be out on a walk or having a coffee or, you know, getting outside and getting some fresh air or doing the housework, all of those types of things. I just love it, and it absolutely makes my day. So thank you so much to absolutely every single one of you that is listening. Now, to actually dive into the content of this, it's really interesting the amount of people that I didn't expect that there would be so many messages in my inbox this morning saying, can you please dive into this a little bit deeper? And like I was saying over on my Instagram stories as well, it's such a huge topic and, you know, something that I think comes up for a lot of different people just in thinking about big life change in general, but specifically towards this topic. And how did we know that we were ready to have another baby? There's a lot of different aspects that came into me not feeling like I was ready, and not feeling like as a couple and as a family that we were ready as a whole. And also keeping in mind, Ollie at the moment is only 18 months old. So he's not that old, really, in the scheme of things. So, and I know that there's a lot of people that I've spoken to, friends or just general, like people online that we have chats within the inbox and things like that, that are kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're pregnant again. I'm just not there. Like, I'm just not in that headspace. There's no way. And let me tell you, I totally, totally get it. I'm 8 months pregnant. That was literally me like 10 or 11 months ago. Still, I was at the point that I was just like, I just don't know if we're going to have another child. I just don't know if it's in our plan. I don't know if we can go through that again. I don't know if I can go through that again. There was a lot of different things that were coming into play. So first thing would be, I would say, Ollie's labor, and this is something that I did speak about on my story quickly, but Ollie's labor was very quick in the scheme of things. So we had about a 6.5 hour labor, and quite textbook in inverted commas, I suppose, for what you would hope for and expect. And it's funny because so many people then, when I tell them my labor story, and when I say story, anytime I say story in this episode, I don't mean story as in like, oh, you know, I'm making this up or whatever. What I mean by story, anytime I talk about it in this episode, and in general, actually, in any of my episodes regarding mindset, is the story level of anything mentally that when we're talking about it is, okay, then, and this happened, and then this happened, and he said this, and she said this, and then this person came in, and this happened, and that happened. That is our story level. So that's like the top level of how our brain processes situations and circumstances. And then we have different levels that come underneath that. I'm not going to go into those different levels today. That's for another podcast episode in itself. So when I say I'm sharing my birth story, it's not like, you know, oh, this is made up, or if you're sharing your birth story that you're making things up to fit in. It's like that's your replay, play by play, an account of the situation or of the circumstances and what happened for you. Anyway, so with my birth story, when I tell people, you know, a bit of a rundown, they're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. You're so lucky. 6.5 hours. That's fantastic. And absolutely 100% yes. And also, I mean, this really touches on my last episode that I did, episode 111 on comparative suffering, really touches on this. And I think comparative suffering in general, when we're talking about things like pregnancy, labor, birth, and also motherhood and parenthood in general, comparative suffering is huge. Because yes, I could invalidate my own feelings or my own perspective of how things happened for me by looking at other people's birth stories and birth trauma and thinking, wow, I could have had it so much worse, or it could have been so much worse. Because the reality is that absolutely 100% yes, that is the case. It could have been worse. And maybe that is something that could potentially be coming up for you as well. I guess what I want to say about birth trauma, very first of all, and again, something that I did touch on in my stories today, is that birth trauma is not about the story that you tell other people and the meaning that they give to that story. Birth trauma is the meaning that mentally, physically, and emotionally your mind and body has given to a situation that you have been through. So regardless of whether somebody else thinks or feels a certain way about your story that you're telling them, it is how you have processed or are in the midst of processing what you have been through. And that is the important part. If there's one thing that you take away from this episode, it is that it's about your processing mentally, physically, and emotionally of the situation or circumstances that is essentially going to help you to either get to a point of acceptance of like, wow, okay, that happened for me and that was quite a big deal. Whether or not you then decide that you want to go ahead and have any other children or not is absolutely beside the point with this whole like birth trauma topic. But it's actually just figuring out, okay, like, how am I or how have I processed or not processed the things that happened for me in that circumstance, in this birth story that I have and this situation that I have been through? And what would it look like for me to start to process some of the emotion that is attached there? And that's the big thing. This is also something that that's what my one-on-one session with Julia was about the other week, was really processing and going into that. Because I have to be honest, yes, while Ollie's labor was only 6.5 hours, and yes, it was quite textbook, so to speak, I think for me personally, the speed of the actual labor was very disorientating for me and very daunting in that, you know, the very early stages of labor, from around 6 a.m. till like 9 a.m., I was like feeling great. Like in my mind, because I felt so confident and so empowered with everything that I had learned from Clancy, we really worked on a lot of the physiological changes that our body goes through with regards to, you know, like the actual birthing process from very early labor on, that I had a sense in my mind of like, this is so cool. Like I felt so empowered because I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been learning about with Clancy. I can actually like recognize it happening right now in my body. And I could literally feel the hormonal changes happening where Clancy was talking about, you know, the different hormones that get released, the different stages that you go through, and when you're advancing and progressing through labor, and that the different like mindsets that you can be in and like mental states that you can go into of like feeling quite relaxed or like, you know, moving through the contractions and all of that kind of stuff. It was just like literally play by play in my mind. And I was like, this is so cool. This is everything I learned about. My body is actually doing it. And it was just like the coolest thing. But also in saying that, from that 9 a.m. period, like from about 3 hours onward, everything happened so quickly that then I was in that space of like, whoa, like what's happening? This is all happening so fast. My expectation, because, you know, everyone kind of wants to set that expectation that especially for a first time labor, and first time birth that we could be, you know, upwards of 2 or 3 days in those earlier kind of stages of labor. And so I had actually said to Aaron that morning, he was getting ready for work. It was like 5:30 a.m. And he was like, oh, I really want to stay here with you. And I had said to him, babe, you need to go to work. Like, there's no point in you staying here. I'd probably actually feel more comfortable at home by myself, just like potting around doing my thing. I can jump in the shower if I want to have a shower. Like, if I'm getting some back pain or whatever, I can just chuck on the Vampire Diaries. Like, if I'm here by myself, I can just do my thing and I don't need to worry about like making conversation with anybody or keeping anyone updated. Like, if we're here, if we're doing this for another like 2 or 3 days, there's no point in taking a day off work now. And he was like, oh, okay, well, only if you're sure. Ring me if you need anything. I'm like, yep, 100%. I, in my head, at 6 a.m. that day when he walked out the door, thought that when he got home around 3:30, I was still just going to be chilling in bed with the heat pack on my tummy or my back and just, you know, had absolutely no idea that things were going to go so quickly. And I think because I had that expectation, when I rang him at 9 a.m., even then, this is when the questioning started to come in. And I think this is when things kind of started to unravel a little for me mentally, where I was like, I mean, it's only been 3 hours since you left home. I just don't know. Like, do you come home? Do we go to the hospital? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure like this is pretty intense. Aaron obviously, of course, was like, okay, dropped everything, came straight home. By 9:30, he'd rung the midwives, and even they at the time were like, I mean, it's first labor, first time birth. She's only been in labor for 3.5 hours. We really don't think that you should be needing to come in. Their thing was like, it takes you 25 minutes to drive out to the hospital from your house. We don't want you to be in the car for 25 minutes, get here, realize that like you're nowhere near ready and have to go back home, which I was 100% on board with too. I was like, totally. So they said, put her on speakerphone. So they did. And as soon as I had my next contraction, which was in like another 30 seconds, they said, yes, get in the car. You need to come straight in. So we did. By the time we even got to the hospital, which was another 25 minutes later, so we're probably at around, say, 10 a.m. now, 10 a.m., 10:30. And they said to Aaron, Aaron had just parked in emergency. And they said to him, I heard her say, as she was kind of getting me organized and ready, she said to Aaron as he was walking out, you need to find the closest car park you can get and run back here because this is happening like now. And in my mind, I was like, what the hell? Like, no way. Why is this happening so quickly? I had my TENS machine on and I was just trying to keep in the zone. And Aaron got back, and like I said, I'm not going to go too deep into the whole like birth story, but anyway, needless to say, I was in the pushing phase of labor by 11:30, so an hour later. We had a beautiful water birth, but still, I found the transition phase very daunting. So from 11:30-ish until 1 o'clock, I was in moving towards and in the pushing phase and the transition period of which I know everybody, well, nearly everybody that goes through a natural labor goes through that phase and that thought process of like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is really hard. And that's actually a really good sign. It means like literally the baby is like about to be here. But I think because I had already had that doubt within myself of this is happening too quickly, I'm not ready. Like I didn't have that processing time like I did while I was here at home because it was like bang, 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 everything happened within the space of about 2 or 3 hours while I was at the hospital, that I felt very out of my depth very quickly and very confused. And for me, this is the part where my then birth trauma, in inverted commas, or just like mental stuff started to really build up. And this is the stuff that I realized I needed to work on with Julia. And I'll touch on when I knew that I needed to work on that with her in just a second. So Ollie was born. Because it was quite quick, there was quite a lot of tearing. And also I had a very difficult birth of the placenta, which I found very hard to digest as well. And then also the first 6 months of Ollie's journey, again, is something I'm not going to dive super deep into, but he had really, really, really terrible and diagnosed colic. I know some people think colic isn't a thing. I'm telling you, it is, and it's fucked. But We found Ollie's first 6 months of life extremely difficult because he was in so much pain, because he was having so many digestive troubles and digestive issues. It was very, very difficult as individuals, as a family unit, as parents, as a couple to work through. Like, newborn phase is hard enough to work through as it is, right? Navigating being new parents is hard enough as it is. And we honestly had moments where we were like, what the fuck have we done? Like, why? There was, honestly, I still remember so vividly, Ollie was probably 3 or 4 weeks old and I was in bed. I was crying. Ollie was screaming. We couldn't calm him down. And I remember Aaron and I looked at each other and we both just said, why would anybody do this a second time? Like, this can't be right. Surely this isn't what it's like for everybody. How could anyone have a second baby knowing that it's this hard? And it wasn't until, because Ollie was born close to Christmas, it wasn't then until after all the doctors and things had reopened after Christmas that we were able to get in for appointments and realize that then, oh, there is actually something wrong. And we were able to put a lot of things into place to be able to help Ollie. He was a lot calmer. He's then started sleeping a lot more. His digestion started to mature as well, with him obviously growing with age, and things like that. So I am not in a position to be recommending anything with regards to colic and digestive issues and things like that with children. That's not my area of speciality. But what I do recommend is working with professionals in those areas. So if you guys are feeling like you're struggling, getting in touch with your GP and having an appointment. They can recommend you a fantastic pediatrician, or maybe a few pediatricians in your area that you can have a look at. Maybe there's some other mums in your local area that have worked with those pediatricians or GPs that can help you with that. I also did personally work with my naturopath on this. And, you know, there's people like dietitians and things like that that can really help as well. So definitely I'm encouraging you to work with professionals in those certain areas if that's what you feel like you need for your baby. So I think the combination of birth being very quick and not feeling like I had a lot of mental processing time around that, and also then just those first few months with Ollie being very, very difficult, and I was also dealing with working through prenatal anxiety, postpartum anxiety, and postnatal depression, that all of these things combined just felt very, very heavy and very difficult for me to be working through. Which is why, like I said, if you had have even been having this conversation with me 10 or 11 months ago, I would have still been questioning. I'm not 100% sure if we are going to even have any other children. I think the biggest turning point for both of us was that we just have had these moments over the last, you know, six to eight months or so of Ollie growing and maturing and coming into his own little personality with his little quirks and just Ollie being Ollie, that we have realized this is the best thing ever. Like, we have never experienced this level of love and adoration before in our lives. And I had just gotten to the point that I felt like I can't imagine not doing this again. I can't imagine not having these experiences with another little human, that, you know, we have the pleasure and ability to watch grow and learn, and that we have the ability to love and show love and teach things to. And I guess we kind of both had this conversation, Aaron and I, where we were like, yeah, we really want to do this again, because these moments are just the most amazing moments of our lives. And I think I also would like to touch on there as well that that feeling doesn't necessarily come around, like there's no timeline for that feeling to come around of feeling connected to your child. I have spoken to countless, like hundreds of different mums in different workshops that I've run for mothers groups, in different one-on-one coaching sessions that I have done with previous clients, in different conversations that I have purely over on my inbox in Instagram, that some mums will feel that connection and that immediate love for their child straight away, as soon as their baby is born, as soon as their baby is placed on their chest. Some mums, it will take a few days. Some mums, it's a few weeks. And when I say mums, actually, I want to change that. Some parents, because it's also about the dad feeling connected as well, right? Or the other parent, not that they're is necessarily another father in play. Maybe there's another mum. Maybe there's not. Maybe you're a single parent. But it's about letting yourself navigate everything that you're going through and not placing any pressure on yourself to buy into the societal shoulds of I should be at this point in my life. I should have these feelings. I should, all of the different shoulds that could be coming up for you in that, you know, I should be feeling this certain way. I should be feeling this connection. I should be feeling this love. I should feel like I want to have another child. No, not necessarily. And just because your baby is a few days old, a few weeks old, a few months old, doesn't mean that you should be living up to what somebody else has experienced. Everybody has their own different lived experiences, and everybody is going to get to different milestones or different levels of feelings at different points in their whole entire life. And so to let yourself be with where you are and be accepting of that is so powerful, because it means that it releases a lot of expectation on yourself and you are more able to be so much more present with the present moment and with whatever is happening in your life. So, I mean, like, it's such an open-ended question, and it's just going to be so different for everybody, for every different family unit, whatever your family unit looks like, in that, like, is there ever really a time that feels 100% right? And how did I know that I wanted to have another baby? I think it probably, the inkling started at around 8 months. I remember distinctly, I have this memory of, I just felt so flustered and confused and just, I feel like it took me a really long time to find my feet in motherhood. And I remember Ollie was 8 months old and I had gotten in the car. I took him down to our waterfront that's just down the road from us and went for a walk. I got myself a coffee. I had him in the carrier and I just had this moment. It just clicked. And again, like I said, he was 8 months old. It took me 8 months to get to this point that I felt like, oh my God, I literally started crying while I was on this walk. And I thought, oh my God, I am doing it. I am a mum and I feel like me, like I feel like I'm getting back to me. I have gotten myself up, gotten myself showered and dressed for the day. I've gotten Ollie out of bed. I've given him breakfast and fed him. I've changed his nappy. I've gotten him ready. I've gotten both of us in the car. I've gone to get a coffee. I'm out on a walk. I feel relaxed. I feel present. I don't feel the overwhelming sense of anxiety that I had felt for months beforehand. I just, I have a video from that walk because I thought I need to remember this moment forever. And I think like that is going to be a memory that sticks with me for the rest of my life because it just was such a beautiful moment for me. And I think it was from then that I started to feel like, okay, like maybe the clouds are shifting or clearing, or like the weight that was on my shoulders was starting to lift a little bit, because I had done quite a lot of work on myself and I was having regular coaching sessions to work through PND and all of that kind of stuff and just be getting back to the basics of like, what do I need as an individual to help me get through everything and navigate the newborn life. And it was really from then that I was kind of like, maybe, like the maybe question started to come up. But again, like I said at the start, do we ever feel 100% ready for change? Like, you know, we had had the conversation and spoken about falling pregnant again a second time a few months after that. And I had said, yeah, like, I think it would be really great. Let's give it a go and see what happens, you know, over the next few months. Please don't get me wrong. When I found out I was pregnant the second time, I still was so nervous. Like, I still had that old shit moment. Because I think with any change in life, it's an adjustment. It's getting used to the idea that things are going to change and that change isn't necessarily a bad thing, but there is an aspect of change that for a lot of people, majority of people, those aspects of big change is going to feel like overwhelm, stress, maybe some anxiousness coming up, the questions, the what ifs, and, you know, that can feel hard and difficult to work through. So, oh, there's a very loud car going past. So just because some of those things might be coming up for you doesn't mean that it's the wrong decision. But I think it's so important also to touch on the fact that just because you maybe have one child now, that doesn't mean you need to have any other children. If you are happy with one child and you only want one child, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that either. So it's really just meeting yourself where you are at and connecting to what you feel is right for you and your life and your lifestyle and what you want. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the societal expectations and the timelines that society expects us to stick to. And I've spoken about these timelines often on my stories and on my podcast episodes that, you know, like, it's that classic somebody's going through school and then as soon as they're getting towards finishing school, oh, what are you going to do after school? What job are you going to get? What uni are you going to go to? And then after that, you maybe have had a long-term partner. Oh, when are you guys getting engaged? Then all of a sudden you guys get engaged. Oh my God, when's the wedding? Have you set a date yet? When are you getting married? And then the next question, once you guys get married, when are you having a baby? It's like, whoa, hang on a second. Can we just enjoy the moment that we're in and take time to soak in the things that we're doing now and be present with these things that we are doing now? So if there is any advice that you can take from today's, I was going to say session, but we're not in a session, we're in a podcast episode, from today's episode is work through things with professionals in their areas if you feel like there's things that you need to work through. Check in with yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and see how you're feeling. I have to be honest, I actually didn't even realize that I had any birth stuff to work through until I fell pregnant with this second baby. And then all of a sudden, it was like instantly within those first few months, I was like, oh shit, there's some stuff coming up for me here. And the doubt and the questioning and all of those thoughts that I had had in those last stages of labor of, I can't do this, this is too hard, I don't want to do this, I can't do this anymore, all of that started to come up for me again. So it wasn't until I noticed that coming up for me that I realized I need to reach out to somebody and I need to work with someone who knows what they're talking about here. Which is why I reached out to Julia and wanted to talk to Julia and had that fantastic session with her. So it's about recognizing and just feeling into, like, what is coming up for me and how can I best work through this, not for anybody else, not for any outside situations, but how can I just work through this so that I feel like the best version of myself, so that I feel like the happiest version of me for me. And then whatever comes after that in life in general, not just with regards to family and potential new children and things like that, but just for life in general, so that you can be navigating life's ups and downs and ebbs and flows and life's curveballs, because we're, regardless of what topic the curveball is with regards to in life, they're going to happen, right? So check in with yourself, see how you're feeling, and, you know, recognize birth trauma as not comparing to anybody else's experience, and go and listen to the previous episode if that feels relevant for you on comparative suffering, and just validating this was my experience and this is how I felt about it, regardless of anything that anybody else has gone through, regardless of anybody else's story that has led them to where they are now, I can also validate how I feel and the experiences that I have had. And then, you know, really just get clear on what do I want my timeline of life to look like? Not what does society tell me that it should look like? Not what questions am I answering to other people at work or friends or family members that are asking me what's next and all of these things? What do you want? And connect back to that. And enjoy the present moment. Enjoy the things that are happening around you. Enjoy these moments for what they are. And just be present with that. Be mindful with that. Maybe you start to bring in a gratitude practice with these things and you use the nightly reflection as a tool for like, what have I really enjoyed about today? What's some really great things that have happened for me today? If you want to get more specific, what have I enjoyed about being a parent today? Is there anything that I'm really proud of for myself or for my child? Or, you know, is there any wins that have happened or really beautiful, heartfelt moments that I want to remember? Maybe you start keeping a diary, things like that, so that you can just be more in the present moment. And so that you can be really remembering, cultivating, and coming back to these memories and these warm, fuzzy feelings. And just, again, giving yourself space to be where you are now. So with all that being said, I think that's all I'm going to touch on today. Of course, if there's any other questions, please come and jump into my DMs over on Instagram and let me know. And I'm more than happy to touch on any other questions. I'm actually going to start a question and answer in episodes as well. So I have had, I think, 4 or 5 questions that have come through over on Instagram when I did a question box a few weeks ago as well. So I'm going to start answering some questions just to kind of shake it up a little bit. I think, you know, the podcast has been going for 2 years now and a little bit of a shake up in format is always nice, a bit of a refresh. So we'll have the recommendations. I will also be including here and there some answers to some questions that you guys have. So I will always keep them anonymous. If you have any questions about anything that's going on for you with mindset, with lifestyle, with wellness, with well-being, with anything in general, you know, let me know and I will do my best to answer some of these questions that you guys have coming through as well. I have had a few questions on things like overwhelm, feeling anxious and procrastination. So I will do a little, you know, brief answer to those questions coming up for you in the next few episodes as well. So with all that being said, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate each and every single one of you. Like I said, new listeners and OGs alike, I really cannot thank you enough for being here. If you've liked this episode, please don't hesitate to share it with a friend or family member or share it over on your socials. And I will see you in the next podcast episode. If you liked this episode, I would love for you to screenshot and tag me on Instagram. You guys have no idea how much that absolutely makes my day. I get such a big smile on my face. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, and I hope that you have gotten something from this episode. If you want to hang out more, you can search the Nourishing Amy podcast community in Facebook and come and join our group. We're talking all things life, love, overwhelm, and everything in between. You can share your funny memes, your stories, and all of the life stuff. If you would like to get in contact with me, please don't hesitate to reach out and shoot me a message on Instagram. You can find me at Amy_Rankin. Last but not least, it really helps to support my podcast when you subscribe and leave a review on whatever app it is that you listen to this podcast on. I am just a little independent podcaster, and every subscribe and review helps my podcast to be seen and heard by more people and to help more people get their sparkle back. Thank you again so much for being with me, and have a fantastic day.